Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, it is the Seth Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. Divisional round weekend is finally here as we get set tomorrow. But I know my next guest, he's really excited for what's going to go down on Sunday. That's the Cleveland Browns coming off their first postseason victory since 1995, going out to Arrowhead with the matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs. And now joining us is a former Brown. He was a 2009 first-team All-Pro, also a three-time Pro Bowler, and played for the Brownies from 2005 to 2012. And that is the always electrifying Josh Cribbs, who's kind enough to give us a few minutes right now on the show. Josh, thanks for the time. How you been?
I've been really good. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing fantastic, and I appreciate you joining us, and we'll talk about your foundation, Team Cribbs Foundation, in just a bit. But I always had so much respect for your game, and I loved your story, being a quarterback at Kent State, then going undrafted, and becoming just such an unbelievable football player and special teams player with the Cleveland Browns. Looking back at it all these years later, just what are the memories that come back to mind, and how do you reflect on the journey?
Well, the memory that I have is just, you know, I was watching some of my returns with my son and my daughter and just reflecting on, you know, being in a position to make a difference and to have like my plays speak louder after the game, like after my career, to look back and say, wow, I did that. So, you know, in the moment, not knowing how I accomplished such electrifying return and saying, man, I did that. And then pretending like when I tell my son that, yes, I'm capable of that. Yeah, I still got those moves, knowing my knees cannot do what it used to do. So I'm just, you know, it speaks of a career well lived. It's confirmation, you know, when people, you know, watch those highlights and, you know, talk about those days.
All these years later, what's the return that speaks the loudest to you?
I would have to say a return against the Pittsburgh Steelers. That was our rivalry.
Insane return.
Twice a year.
When the ball was bouncing around, right, and then you took it to the house down the right sideline?
Definitely. That return, because I looked at that after the game, and I'm like, wow. Like, I didn't know that. I didn't know all those people were trying to get me at one point. I didn't know all those guys fell. It just, when it happened, I didn't want to go down. The ball hit. I knew they weren't going to kick it directly to me. So my plan was to try to catch it so they, you know, the muff kick wouldn't be successful. They thought they had me back at the one, and it turned out not to be so. So, you know, that was one of the most memorable return touchdowns in my career.
How about the two that you returned in one game? That's just insane.
You know what? It's so relevant right now because we play – against the Kansas City Chiefs. The Browns are in the playoffs right now against the Kansas City Chiefs. So I'm actually going to post that just to remind our fans, you know, this is what we had. You know, this is how good our team was. It was a record-setting day on offense with our running back Jerome Harrison breaking Jim Brown's single-game rushing record. And then as a returner, for me to return two 100-yard kick returns, it spoke value. It spoke just volumes to where we were as a football team playing complimentary football, knowing that this team this year is capable of the same thing.
Josh Cribbs here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. When we look at your most successful season in Cleveland as a team, that was 2007. It was the last time the Browns had a winning season up until this year. You guys go 10-6. Unfortunately, though, that year, in one of those bizarre years, it wasn't good enough to make the playoffs. When you look back at that 07 team, what made that team special? Especially when you look at Cleveland standards, that was the winner that they didn't have it for, you know, in a long time.
Yes, definitely. And I remember that 10-6 year where we had you know, Derek Anderson, and had the talent, the level of talent that we carried on our football team, and to be the first team since the 80s to have 10 wins and not go to the, you know, to the playoffs, to the postseason. For our coach, Romeo Crennel, to say at the beginning of the year, hey, men, win 10 games and you're in. Win 10 and you're in. We won 10 and we weren't able to go to the postseason. So, you know, that just spoke volume to how good the AFC North was at the time and still is. But at the same time, not getting to the playoffs and not being able to give the fans, these great fans of Cleveland, that experience, you know, that stuck with me. So I'm so honored and grateful to still be in the city to see and speak to and hear from the fans of how great this moment is for this franchise.
The only thing disappointing about this season, and it's been a great season for Cleveland, back in the playoffs, they blow out the Steelers on Sunday night. It's that the fans really can't be a part of it. You know, they really got to watch from their couches, unfortunately, because of COVID.
Man, you said it. It's so true. I've spoken with Bernie Kosar, Reggie Langhorne, Eric Metcalf, all those guys, Golic. And, you know, that's one thing a lot of our great alumni say, that we couldn't be around the team during this time. The fans couldn't hover around the teams and be the 12th man and give them that electrifying energy that you get from fans, you know, and the advice that the alumni will give the players to take their game to another level. So that is the biggest moment, the biggest, you know, downfall for this season, other than, you know, just, you know, COVID itself, is not being around the fans and not, I mean, around the team and not being able to physically give them our advice.
Josh Cribbs here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. So you being a Brown from 2005 to 2012, you know, in that organization, you know, in that city, what were you feeling on Sunday night when you just saw the dismantling of the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I knew that this team was capable of that. Anytime our team was tested, they were tested when they went down to Dallas, going into enemy turf, you know, against Dak Prescott before Dallas took a turn for the worse. They showed up then. Then weeks later in Tennessee, I knew that the team was going to do well this season, but I didn't have Tennessee as a win in our, you know, when I looked at the season schedule as a whole. I knew that we was going to win at least, at the very least, 10 games because of the talent. But then I saw this team go down there and handle business. Baker stepping up, being way more than a manager, because people like to say, oh, he's a team manager. But when the challenge was put to him, came to his feet, he showed up unbelievable. When people thought it was going to be a Nick Chubb, Derrick Henry battle, he threw in the air unlike none other. So, you know, the test, it was week after week, even against Baltimore, the last playoff game against the Steelers. So they've shown themselves worthy to be where they at right now, to have beat Pittsburgh like they did. Pittsburgh slept on them. They did the original cardinal sin, not sleeping on any NFL team, because any given Sunday, any team can win or lose in the National Football League.
How about the aftermath of that game? Chase Claypool called the Browns classless and then also said, it's all right, they're going to lose next week to the Chiefs anyway, and then it's going to be all good.
Crazy, right? You know, and I chalked that up to him being a young professional athlete. He's a good kid. He's a lot of a talent. He's going to be great in this league for years to come. However, he needs a lesson. The veterans on his team needs to pull him aside. I was skeptical, and I was, you know, dumbfounded at Juju as well, that him being in the league, knowing what happened against Cincinnati, when you give teams bulletin board material, they use that, especially with the fans not being able to be present. They use what you say against you. It worked for Cincinnati, and it worked for us. So, I would have to let Chase Claypool know that it was Juju's words, the nameless gray faces, the Browns is the Browns comments that we used against the Steelers. So when he says, yeah, we were classless, no, that was classless. And then we as a football franchise and as a talented group, they took advantage of that and they used it, and they used it to win. So, you know, he had to eat those words. And now he even said it himself, he's salty. He's really salty and cracker guy.
Josh Cribbs here with us on the show. Make sure you check out his foundation, Team Cribbs Foundation. We'll talk about it in a bit. All right, Josh, how does this game play out on Sunday? Your Browns going into Arrowhead, defending Super Bowl champions. How do you see the game playing out?
Okay, man, listen. If you would have had an interview with me and we would have talked before the Pittsburgh Steelers game, you know, a lot of people would have said, you know, you're crazy if you think they're going to win this game. With Big Ben coming back, with Watt coming back, and the Steelers not resting their starters, you're crazy if you think the Browns have a huge chance to win this game. Well, I'll say the same thing about this team going into this week as well. We're facing a prolific offense in Mahomes and Kelce and company. Prolific. It's going to be a high-scoring game. We get that. We know that. But one thing that the Browns will do, they will do a great job running the football, controlling the tempo, trying to do their best to keep this prolific offense in Kansas City off the field. With Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, extending drives, that's going to be the focus, to extend the drives, extend the play, and drag this game down so that it's not a high-scoring game, so it's not us having to answer. Defense, going to have to get some turnovers. We're going to have to get some turnovers. We're going to have to force three and outs. We're going to have to make them count. The margin of error against the Kansas City Chiefs will be razor thin. It has to be in order for the Browns to have a chance. Now, this is on any given Sunday. That has to play out. This is playoff football. Anything goes now. There can be something that happened against the Steelers. There may be some throws that Mahomes thinks that he can make. And it might be some interception, a lot of turnovers in the game. Again, teams play different in the playoffs. Everyone is scared of the Browns. The Browns have nothing to lose here. If they lose, if they go home, the season is still a success. But if the Chiefs go home, if they lose, so when you look at these two opponents, who has more to lose here? Who is going to be on thin ice? Who is going to be on edge? Not the Browns. So they're going to play loose, fast, and they're going to come with everything they got.
Now, you didn't give me a score. You think the Browns are going to win? Are you saying, here we go, Brownies,
I definitely think the Browns are going to win. And because of the run game, I don't think it's going to be as high of a scoring match that people think it is. I think it will be something like 27-24 Cleveland Browns.
How about that? Josh Cribbs, before we let you run, we'll talk about the foundation in just a bit. I know that you did spend an offseason with the Texans as a coaching intern back in 2019. Just what do you make of this Deshaun Watson situation? Because I'm a big Deshaun Watson fan. I think he's a heck of a quarterback, and he's clearly annoyed with the organization right now.
Yes, I am too. And, I definitely was annoyed at the organization. I spent two offseasons with this organization under Coach O'Brien. I didn't like the decision to get rid of Coach O'Brien as a head coach. Maybe they should have dethroned him as a general manager. I think that's never a good recipe for the head coach to be both the head coach and a general manager. That's why, you know, I didn't agree with that from the start. He's a head coach. He should be coaching, not deciding which players come and go. That's why it's a difference of hierarchy and a difference of opinion. So when they made that move, I knew it was because of the Hopkins trade. And he shouldn't have never been allowed to be able to do that, because I think, again, Bill O'Brien, in my opinion, should have still been the head coach. Watson, he is your franchise. He is your franchise quarterback. You got to make him happy. It's just no way around it. When you talk about him wanting to leave or rumors of him leaving, you're talking about having to start from scratch. They already don't have the prolific run game that they need to go with the high level of caliber quarterback. Now, they have a good receiving core, and they're trying to manufacture some receivers with the loss of Hopkins. At the same time, you lose your franchise quarterback. That could mean trouble for this franchise in trying to rebuild itself, which can take a decade. It could take that long. You see a team like Cleveland finally starting to hit the get the motors turning. But to lose your franchise guy, it's going to be a long time before you're hopefully in a position in the draft to try to get another guy to replace him, which seems unlikely, which could set this team back 10 to 15 years.
Well, the mysterious piece here for me, Josh Cribbs, is Jack Easterby. He was the Patriots character coach, and now he seems like he's definitely in owner Cal McNair's ear constantly on these decisions. Did you have a relationship with Jack? What can you tell us about him, if anything at all?
Well, I had an opportunity to sit in a and have an extensive meeting with, you know, a lot of the upper management and general managers, and, you know, being with O'Brien and a lot of the scouting guys. And, you know, all those guys are good guys. And it just comes down to, you know, how would they, you know, run the team as far as player acquisition and being on the same page with the coaches. So, again, player acquisition and being on the same page with coaches. Because there's good things that happen from a coach being that tight with a general manager, and there's bad things. The good thing is that, you know, you get the players that you want to play on game day. The bad thing is that it necessarily, that relationship can sour the, you know, what happened with O'Brien. It could sour the bunch. Now they ended up, you get rid of one guy, you're looking for a whole complete scouting staff, a general manager, and everybody to start that whole process over, and not having a cohesive group. And there goes the problem with Deshaun Watson. You have a problem right now because there is no acquisitional cohesiveness of how to acquire players. Now you're going to your franchise quarterback to say, you know, hey, you know, do you like this general manager? Do you like this guy? And that really isn't the case with a lot of teams. That quarterbacks, even though they're the franchise, they never should be in a position where they have that much power over player acquisition. People get paid millions of dollars to be able to make that call. And, you know, it, maybe he should have some, you know, some word, but not necessarily the decision on who comes and goes.
All right, Josh, before we let you run, and this has been a tremendous conversation, the most important part of it is talking about Team Cribbs Foundation. Tell me about your great organization that you do.
Yes, my foundation, we support smaller foundations. The mission statement for my foundation is no cause left behind. I get together with community leaders, business leaders, and we vote on the best way to affect the community as a whole. So we don't just decide on one cause or one thing that needs to be fixed. We try to cover a vast majority of community service within this city, even surrounding cities in the suburbs. Everywhere there's a need, we try to go and fix it, and that's what we're all about, Team Cribbs Foundation.
Josh, you and the family, you be healthy, you be well. We really appreciate your energy and your perspective today. Thanks so much.
I appreciate it. Don't forget, though. Go Dawgs, baby. Hoof, 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 hoof.
There he is, Josh Cribbs. It's the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
And we're coming to you live on the Zach Gelb Show from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free today at RocketMortgageSquares.com. Also, Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low, low, low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Got a poll question out there. We'll get to it in just a second. Also got a tweet that I thought was rather interesting, so I'll bring it up on the air. At Zach Gelb on Twitter, also at CBS Sports Radio. Chris_Scalf. He says, Zach, could we see Deshaun Watson go to Jacksonville for the number one pick and some more draft picks? Maybe Urban takes the proven commodity. Could be interesting. I really wonder. Now, if you ask me, if I'm Urban Meyer, and you could say, would you rather have Deshaun Watson or Trevor Lawrence? As good as we think Trevor Lawrence is going to be, personally, I would rather have the proven commodity because we know Deshaun Watson is great. But what would that deal have to look like? Because who's the better player right now, Watson or Lawrence? It would be perceived as Deshaun Watson. But what would the Texans have to give up to get the number one pick? And on the other end, what else would the Jaguars have to give up if they're giving the number one pick to get Deshaun Watson? Now, here's why I don't think that deal's likely. Number one, I think Urban Meyer takes that job, and he has his eyes set on the prize right now in Trevor Lawrence. But also, if you're either team, Let's say if you're Jacksonville, and yes, you have LaVisca Chenault. Yes, you have DJ Shark. Yes, you have James Robinson. You got some pieces. But you also have other holes on your roster. So would it make sense, even though you're acquiring Deshaun Watson, if you had to give up picks when you're giving up the number one pick in Trevor Lawrence? Or even on the other way, look how much this Texans organization doesn't have picks right now for this upcoming draft. You would maybe have to give up future picks to go get Trevor Lawrence, and you're giving away Deshaun Watson? Now, I don't think, let me be abundantly clear here. If I am the Houston Texans, let me say this and repeat it 9,000 times. If I am the Houston Texans, I don't trade Deshaun Watson. If I am the Houston Texans, I don't trade Deshaun Watson. If I am the Houston Texans, I don't trade Deshaun Watson. If I am the Houston Texans, I don't trade Deshaun Watson. I'll say it in many different levels for you. You get the point. But if you are going to trade Deshaun Watson, wouldn't you want to get back a bevy of picks? So I don't know what that deal would look like. Like, Ryan, wouldn't you just think that would be a swap on the surface? Watson for Lawrence, if that trade's going to get down, but then both teams can make a case why they should be getting picks.
You think the Texans would give up basically Trevor Lawrence for Deshaun Watson straight up?
No, I don't think they... Wait, do I think the Texans would?
Yeah.
Right now, if you think this situation is not something you could fix, maybe you would just trade for Trevor Lawrence. But what I'm saying is, if you're the Texans and you do want to move on from Deshaun Watson, wouldn't the idea be that you're really hitting the reset and you're trying to get back as many picks as possible? Now, you fix, or you think you fix, the quarterback position, but with this current roster, if you just had Trevor Lawrence, heck, Deshaun Watson had a great season this year. What, they win four games? They were the third overall pick? I'm just asking, what would that deal look like if, let's say, you got two to tango, Texans, Jaguars, Watson, Lawrence, that's the trade. What else needs to be put in that deal?
I would say two first-round picks from the Jaguars. I think it's fair. Deshaun Watson for Trevor Lawrence, two first-rounders.
And if I'm the Jaguars, I'm not doing that.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not. As much as I'd really? Rather, I'd rather have Deshaun Watson than Trevor Lawrence. With the potential of Trevor Lawrence, I'm not giving up two first-round picks if I'm giving you Trevor Lawrence, who's supposed to be a transcendent talent. I get it, and that's the known commodity. That's why I said I'd rather have Deshaun Watson. I don't think that deal would ever be able to get done because the Jaguars could say, we're giving you the next, what some people are saying is the next Peyton Manning. And the Texans could say, well, we already have a top five, top six, seven quarterback in the league right now. So, yes, I would more so agree with you that the Texans would have to get something else back. But the Jaguars could also say, no, this is a swap one for one. And then the Texans probably don't take that trade, even with how enticing it would be if Deshaun really wanted out and they didn't think they could find a way to rectify this situation and fix it. Yeah, Trevor Lawrence would be very enticing. I just don't see how that deal gets done. If the Texans are going to trade Watson, it's going to be for what? I threw out there last week three or four, probably four first-round picks. And you even heard Josh Cribbs. If the Texans trade Deshaun Watson, if they get rid of Deshaun Watson, that could set their franchise back for 10 years. Yes, sure, they could be horrible. Yes, sure, maybe they could draft the right quarterback. But think about what that does perception in the National Football League. Think about that. If you can't find a way to keep Deshaun Watson happy, and I know money can cure all, and some players may say, oh, if you give me a contract, I'll just take it. But how many players look at that organization and go, wow, they got rid of arguably the best wide receiver in football in DeAndre Hopkins and arguably a top 5 to 7 quarterback in the NFL in Deshaun Watson. If you're a free agent, right, Trace? If they basically, in essence, choose Jack Easterby over DeAndre Hopkins and Deshaun Watson, yeah, everyone has the price, but I wouldn't touch the Houston Texans organization. So if they trade Deshaun Watson, and yes, you could have a bunch of picks in the future after this year where you're picking in the first round, you're picking the top five because your team is just putrid garbage. Who's going to say that this regime gets it right in those draft picks? And what's the odds of you drafting the next Deshaun Watson. So I look at that trade scenario, Texans and Jaguars. I understand the fun of it. I understand the talk show nature of it, and that's what we do here. And I understand the question. I don't think it's realistic enough to get the deal done. I think there's too many complications in there where that deal would not, even if it's talked about, would never get finalized and would never get processed and traded for. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. And by the way, I did a Sports Minute back in July. And in July, I had a very simple take on how I don't believe in the Houston Texans. I don't trust the Houston Texans. It's an organization that doesn't want to win, doesn't know how to win, and it's an organization that constantly makes the wrong decisions. And that was in the aftermath of the DeAndre Hopkins trade. And at the time, we didn't know that Deshaun Watson was going to sign an extension through 2025. But I gave a very measured take. I thought it was a very fair take. It wasn't screaming, freaking out, going nuts, Zach Gelb. All I said was, if I'm Deshaun Watson, yes, I do think a deal will get done, but I would seriously hesitate in signing an extension with the Houston Texans because you're synonymous with winning is what I said, going back to your college days. You're a great player. You want to win. But your organization doesn't want and doesn't know how to win. And if you re-sign, even with how great you are, you're going to be nowhere closer where the organization is currently to get into a Super Bowl and winning that ring and taking home that Lombardi. Now, when I had that take, a lot of Texans fans reached out to me, Zach, you're right. And then I had people just trash me. You know, friends of ours. Sean Pendergast, who was on with us last week, trashed me. I had to go on with the show in Houston, afternoon drive, trashed me. And I went back and forth. I held my ground. Heck, when I was on that afternoon show with Clint in the show, they played my take. They said, do you take anything back? I go, absolutely not. And now, hey, Zach, you were right. Oh, yeah, Zach, that was good advice to Deshaun Watson. I want to see Deshaun Watson stay in Houston. I want to see them get this thing right. But let's be real. They're not getting this thing right. You have Deshaun Watson now so annoyed with the organization, and he just signed an extension. What did he tweet out today? Oh, yeah, I'm at a 2. And, you know, I was at a 2 once, and now I'm taking a 10. Something like that. Now it's going to be a 10. So in July, Zach Gelb was at a 2. In July, it was, hey, Deshaun. Hey, my pal, Deshaun Watson. What's going on? You're a tremendous football player. You're a great football player. You have a decision to make. Now, I think you're going to get the extension. I think you're going to sign long-term. But I think you're going to regret it. And I don't think you're going to win a Super Bowl in Houston. That was Zach Gelb at a 2. Now, I'll go Zach Gelb at a 10. Deshaun Watson. This is Zach Gelb speaking and yelling. Get the heck away from Cal McNair and Jack Easterby. Those are the two biggest problems in the Texans organization. Cal McNair and Jack Easterby. Think about it. Bill O'Brien traded away DeAndre Hopkins, and let me get the phrasing of this correctly, for a bag of balls. Right, Trace? I worded that correctly?
Bag of balls. You crushed
bag
it.
Bag of balls. That's what the Texans traded away. Who could have stepped in and prevented that? The owner of the damn team, Cal McNair. He didn't. Then you finally get rid of O'Brien, who was a good coach, awful GM. And Jack Easterby was that one guy. Yeah, shouldn't still be in the organization. All right, we have the search firm. They recommend the next 5 candidates for GM. Oh, we go with Jack Easterby's guy, Nick Caserio. What does that show? That Jack Easterby is in the ear and whispers into the ear of one Cal McNair, and he gets what he wants. The optics of that is horrible. And you opened up Pandora's box. Hey, Deshaun, we want you to feel better. We want you to like this organization, not regret your decision. So we're going to let you have a say in the GM search. Oh, we're going to take your recommendations on the coaching search. If you don't hire the guys that Deshaun Watson recommend, what is Deshaun Watson going to feel? Oh, they don't value my opinion. So I agree with Andre Johnson right now. Get your takes known. Stand your ground. You need to get what you want. Now, you're not going to get everything that you want, but you need to get the big selling points here. Because if you really want to, we see it all the time in the NBA. Paul George, James Harden, contract, you get out of that. You could be a pain in the butt on social media, and you could make this a real distraction. That doesn't seem like the personality of Deshaun Watson. But if he wants to, he could turn heel here. And he keeps on throwing out cryptic tweets. Cryptic tweets. Cal McNair, this is on you. Get control of your organization. Get control of your team. And right now, Cal McNair, where's he at? Bueller. Cal McNair, can you do something positive? Bueller. Heck, when he spoke to the media to introduce Nick Caserio, he basically sounded if he was being held hostage. Reading off that script, it was like a robot. Was terrible. Was awful. Cal, let me be crystal clear here if I'm not clear enough. Let me be abundantly clear. Don't trade Deshaun Watson, and you better make sure that he starts smiling sooner rather than later. Because if he doesn't, it's going to get real ugly. And guess who will be the laughingstock of the National Football League? You. Your legacy will be remembered as what? The guy that couldn't keep Deshaun Watson in his organization. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, we'll get to the news brief. Also, you could get in on the poll question, and it was from a segment that we did yesterday. And that poll question has to do with the best quarterback receiving duo in the National Football League. Aaron Rodgers, MVP. Devontae Adams considered the best wide receiver in football. Is Rodgers Adams the best quarterback receiving duo left in the playoffs? Or is it Mahomes Kelsey? Or is it Mahomes Hill? Or is it Brady Evans? Or is it Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs? Or is it Drew Brees, Michael Thomas? Right now, 70% say yes. Rodgers Adams is the best QB receiving duo left in the playoffs.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
We start things out on the Zach Gelb Show with the news brief. Urban Meyer in Jacksonville now is their next head coach. He says he's had his eye on the NFL for a little while now.
This was not a knee-jerk reaction. This is something that I've been studying for a long time. Not necessarily this job, but just the NFL in particular. And then this one, you know, the opportunity presented itself. And whether it's watching film, whether it's studying the roster, whether it's understanding the salary cap, what we have available to us, the number one pick, the fact that I love Jacksonville. You know, I've spent a lot of time in Florida. My family loves it here. And then, you know, quite honestly, Duvall and 904 deserve a chance to go win. And I'm gonna hire people that want to help the Jaguars win.
I think his preference was to go back to college first. Then it had to be the right job because where his status is in the sport. USC, if they wanted him, he would have been there. They didn't want him. Texas, he didn't want them. Notre Dame, he wanted them, not open. So last year it was floated out, and probably by him now looking back at it, about the Dallas Cowboys job. And that was probably a job that's big enough for him to go. And it's also the NFL. Then, after kind of not getting the college job that he thought could have been there or that he wanted in this past offseason, all right, let me then go to the NFL. Probably not going to return to college because I don't see a good enough job for my standards opening up. Let me go to Jacksonville. They have salary cap space. They have 11 picks in this draft, and they're getting Trevor Lawrence. So probably had some thoughts last year, wasn't convinced, and this offseason he was convinced that he was going to the NFL. Let's hear one more for Urban Meyer. He says with his health problems, he's going to delegate to keep his health in the best position possible.
I'm older. I've something I'm going to be very conscientious of. It's something I'm going to watch very closely. I will be in the head coach, but I'm going to hire great coaches that are going to be expected to do their job. I'm not going to be running around like a nut on the practice field, and you know, those days are gone. I know what it's supposed to look like, and I want to be very demanding of everyone. But it's something I'm going to watch very closely. But it's something that, you know, I had that surgery in 2014 that really helped things. It's just something I watch very closely.
I say it all the time. Delegation is huge in the National Football League. Said all the right things there. The question is, will he put it into effect? James Harden, now with the Brooklyn Nets. He says the big three of himself, KD and Kyrie, will be able to work things out together with no problems.
Chemistry, sacrifice, and like you said, we're all elite. You know, so depending on the game, depending on, you know, what's going on throughout the course of the game, that's going to determine who gets the ball and who makes the plays. We're all unselfish. We're all willing passers. And we play basketball the right way.
Earlier in the week, James Harden said the Rockets weren't good enough anymore to win a championship. That really got the ball rolling on his departure from Houston. James Harden said that comment wasn't meant to be disrespectful.
I wasn't disrespectful towards anyone. You know, I just made a comment, you know, that the team as a whole wasn't good enough to compete for a title. And, you know, at the stage of my career right where I am now, that's what I would love.
That was disrespectful. Hey, this organization, I'm a part of it still. I know I don't want to be here, but the guys on this roster, yeah, they're basically garbage. They can't find a way to win a title. Now, he's not wrong. That team's not going to win a championship. Heck, when the roster was better, a lot of times because of the blunders and the poor performance of the postseason because of the beard, they weren't able to win a title. Now, they got there in position to be in a championship hunt because of James Harden, but in the big moments, James Harden came up small. He was MIA. You wanted to get out of there as quick as possible. You weren't happy with the pace of it, so you basically rubbed a lot of salt in the wound. It was disrespectful. Maybe true, but it was disrespectful. Ravens at Bills tomorrow night, second game of the divisional round weekend. Lamar Jackson compares Josh Allen to who? Patrick Mahomes.
People always just talking about Josh and, you know, his big arm, but, you know, he doing it all out there. You know, he's getting out the pocket, you know, taking advantage of what the defense gives him, throwing the ball on the rope, and he's slinging the ball, you know, like a Patrick Mahomes.
Here's what I want to see from that game. This is all I ask from that game. Like, remember when the Bills went up against the Cardinals? Allen bounced back from the pick, threw a touchdown to Diggs, and then you had the bounce back of the Hail Murray from Kyler Murray to DeAndre Hopkins. That's what I want to see. I'm not saying have the Hail Mary finish, but just give me a position where either Allen or Jackson gives his team the lead, and then you see how the other bounces back with, let's just say, like a 130 to go. That's how I want to see that game finish, where it's back and forth, both those quarterbacks. With the game on the line, how do they perform? John Harbaugh, coach of the Ravens, says the Ravens had a playoff mindset going back to the regular season.
We've had our backs against the wall since the Pittsburgh game, you know, the COVID game. I think our guys have handled everything exceptionally well. They've taken it one day at a time, one play at a time, one practice. Maybe there were some things that we learned through all that that were beneficial.
And after that game, they were sitting at 6-5. They couldn't afford to lose another game. They beat Dallas. They beat Cleveland. They beat Jacksonville. They beat the Giants. They beat the Bengals. Now, the Cleveland one was the really good win. The rest of those teams stink. You couldn't afford to lose, so they've been in playoff mentality mode. So now when they're in the postseason, it's still win or go home. That's what they've been since that game, that loss in early December up against Pittsburgh. And I think that's why when you see those teams that get hot at the end of the year, it's because their backs are up against the wall and they've been in that win or go home mode, so it just rolls over from week to week. Aaron Rodgers, Packers, welcoming in the Rams coming up tomorrow. Aaron Rodgers and what he did differently this season as he's about to win the MVP.
A better approach to timing, and I talked about it a lot in training camp and throughout the season, just rededicating myself to really being great on the timing, getting the ball out of my hand, and sometimes that means get to the check down quicker.
Let's be real, a little extra motivation too. Packers said, yeah, we're thinking about your departure. We're grabbing Jordan Love, and Rodgers said, yeah. Let's wait a second. Hold up, wait a minute. Y'all thought I was finished, not to quote Meek Mill, but come on, I'm Aaron Rodgers. I'm the great Aaron Rodgers. You don't get to plan my departure. I get to say when I don't want to be here in Green Bay anymore. And oh boy, was he dominant this year. Bucks, Saints, Sunday, fourth game. Sean Payton says the Buccaneers offense has improved towards the end of the season.
You're constantly evaluating your scheme and the progress you're making and the changes you need to make and then what suits the personnel. I believe I've seen that when I'm watching their offense this last half of the season or last third of the season, I think they're playing at a very high level.
I don't know why. Maybe I'm just like an audio nerd. You ever realize coaches and GMs, when they're on conference calls, that is the typical conference call line. Just the sounding of that. Where Sean Payton, it's a clear line, but you know he's on speaker and he's a little bit far away from the phone. I almost wish we had that sound effect here on CBS Sports Radio. So when I'm imitating coaches, I could just have that sound effect built into the microphone where I could sound like all those coaches, because all those coaches sound the same. Or general managers, front office executives. For example, Ryan McDonough, who used to be with the Celtics and the Suns, Radio.com insider, when he joined us a few weeks ago, he even sounded as if he still had that connection on his phone line, as if he was the general manager or president of an organization. Or as they say in Canada, organization. Finally, Browns Chiefs, Sunday afternoon. Baker Mayfield, the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, on the emotional roller coaster ride of the playoffs.
Every game is going to be extremely emotionally and mentally taxing. I mean, obviously the physical part comes on Sundays, but each week you're having to put everything you have into it during the week, and then you empty that bucket on Sunday. And so you just have to hit the reset button. And right now, I think your guys are doing a great job of that.
I think we'll know what type of game we're going to get in the first quarter. I really do. Because if the Browns come out flat, that game's going to get ugly. And I want to see if the Browns could take command of that first quarter. Not to the extent that they did last week where they were up 28-0. That's not going to happen again. But can you have a lead at the end of one? And can you show, okay, we're here to fight, we're here to punch you in the mouth, you better be ready to counter back. And the other part I'm kind of curious about, the Chiefs, they've been sloppy ever since that Panthers game. Now, they get out to quick starts in some of these games, or they get out to slow starts. They end up playing one good half of football eventually. And that one half has been good enough. I just want to see, with the Chiefs basically having 2 weeks off, week 17, wild card weekend, only bye in the AFC, if that Chiefs team is crisp to start and if they can play a full brand of 60 minutes of football. Gus Frerotte, NFL Picks, next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.